All right, Chavosai. Good morning. Good morning. A good kvittel of Piskatava. Let's begin. Today's daf is Nun Aleph 51. I want to thank Yehuda for giving shir yesterday. And we're actually just going to, I'm not sure exactly where it left off yesterday. I'm sorry? Bottom line. Okay, so we're just gonna go back a few lines. We're going to start four lines up from the bottom on Nun Amud Beis 50B, the Tanan Hossam. So Tanan Hossam. So we'll say, still continuing on the conversation of the Chavitin offering of the Kohen. Remember again, there are two times. The Chavitin were offered any time a new Kohen was inaugurated into service, even a Kohen Hedyot. So he brought the Minchas Chavitin. The Kohen Gadol had to bring that particular Mincha each and every day of his Kohuna Gedolah service. So the Gemara says to us, Tanan Hossam, Chavite Kohen Gadol, the Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, Lishasan va'arichasan va'afiyasan bifnim. So the kneading, the arranging, and the baking of it is done inside of the Beis HaMikdash. When we say inside the Beis HaMikdash, what that means is that there was a place in the Azara, there was a place in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, a chamber in which they were able to prepare the Chavitin offerings. V'dochos es HaShabbos. And ultimately, again, they're also docha Shabbos. So we offer up the Chavitin even on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos. Menahani Mili. From where do we know this? Rashi points out over here, the Menahani Mili ultimately is the Minahani Mili is for Shabbos, which is Docho Shabbos. As well as I forgot to announce, this morning's Shir is dedicated by Gil and Mali Horowitz in commemoration of the Artite of Gil's father, Yehud Yaakov ben Natan Halevi, and Mordechai and Malki Tusk. In honor of? Mordechai's Dafyomi anniversary. Beautiful, beautiful. All right, Nesham Shavin Aliyah. And the Mirat Hashem, we should be zochet to learn together for many years to come. All right, so we'll say, so says the Gemara, Menahani Mili. So from where do we know, ultimately, again, that the Chavitin are Docha Shabbos? So says the Gemara, Amrav Huna, Tufine. So we'll say, because the Pasuk says, the Lashon of Tufine. So what does that mean? What does that have to do with anything? Te'afena Na'e. So we'll say, the Gemara Darshan's over here, that word is actually a contraction for Te'afena Na'e, which means the Chavitin has to be baked nicely. And I will say that the assumption is as follows. V'afilei me'esmol. Therefore, if you go and you make the chavitin as of Erev Shabbos, in shifa la, it'll fill with air, it'll become swollen, and therefore by the time Shabbos comes, it's not going to be te'afena na'e. The baking of it is not going to be nice. Maskev l'Rav Yosef, I, says Rav Yosef, ema d'chavish le'biyarka, so why don't you go ahead, knead the dough, and go ahead and literally take. So the chavish le'biyarka means cover it in leaves. In other words, cover it. If you keep it covered, then by definition, it will not rise. So go ahead, prepare it Erev Shabbos, or even bake it on Erev Shabbos. Go ahead and cover it, and that way, again, it will remain good on Shabbos itself. The Berei Bishmol Tana, te'aseh. So the Berei Bishmol says, the Pasuk says, te'aseh v'afilu b'Shabbos. So we'll say, so therefore, the Berei Bishmol advances another source. Te'aseh means afilu b'Shabbos, that you could make the Chavitin even on Shabbos itself. Te'aseh v'afilu b'Tumah. Furthermore, again, the Chavitin could be prepared even in a state of Tumah. We'll discuss exactly what the parameters of that are. Abayi Amar, so Abayi says as follows. Now, everyone's agreeing on the same basic yisod, which is that the Chavitin can be prepared on Shabbos. What's their machlokas? The particular source for this halacha. Abayi Amar says, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Soles Mincha Tumit. Ultimately, again, the Pasuk was speaking about the Chavitin, calls it a soles mincha tamid. So what do we darshan on that? Top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Harehi k'minchas hatamidin. Ultimately, again, that the Chavitin is like the Minchas Tamidin. Just like the Minchas Tamidin is brought every single day, so too, again, hence the name Tamid, so too the Chavitin is also brought every single day. Rava Amar Rava says, Alma Chavas. Both say the Pasuk, when talking about the Chavitin, calls it Al Machavas. What does that mean? Milamed Shetu Unakli. It comes to teach me that Halacha Lemaisa, the Minchas Chavitin requires a Kli. Has to be placed within a Kli Shareis. V'i Afi La Me'esmo. So we'll say, here's the issue. The issue is if you go ahead and you bake it from yesterday. So we'll say, here's the issue. If we say that the Minchas Chavitin requires a Kli, so then Halacha Lemaisa, if it's placed in the Kli. Thank you very much. Thank you, Sai. Thank you.
Amen. Christian. See, thank you. Thank you. I wouldn't normally interrupt the shiur for that. But you know, leishev basukos on this yomtiv have become a precious commodity. So chatov yachol, chatov ushesei. You have to mamish mitzah bali adecha achach mitzena. It becomes your way taker. Says the Gemara as follows. So we'll say, so therefore again, now that we know that a minchas chavitin ultimately requires a kli sharis, so the problem is if you were to put it in a kli sharis on Erev Shabbos and it were to sit ultimately again until Shabbos, that would be the issue of lino. That would be the issue ultimately again of leaving a sacrificial item overnight. And halach l'maisa becomes possible as a result. If salei b'lino. Tanya kavase de Rava. So we'll say, we have a braisa that supports Rava. So again, remember, Rava understands it ultimately. So we'll say, just so you understand, we're trying to figure out, how do we know that minchas chavitin is docha Shabbos? So Rava, everybody's agreeing that it's docha Shabbos, they're just arguing as to what is the source for this halacha. So Rava says, we learn that based on Amachvas. Amachvas teaches us that halacha l'maisa, the halacha maisa minchas chavitin requires a kli sharis. Since it requires a kli sharis, it's impossible to say that you're making it on Friday for Shabbos, because if you make it in the kli sharis on Friday and you leave it over to Shabbos, then what? It becomes posel als lino. Therefore, if you're going to tell me that it requires a kli sharis, it must be that one is permitted ultimately to make it on Shabbos Kodesh itself. So, Tanya Kavasi de Rava, we have a Braisa that supports Rava. Al Machvas, when the Pasuk says Al Machvas, Melamed Shetun Kli, ultimately it teaches us that it requires a kli, that Minchas Chavitin requires a kli sharis. And once Minchas Chavitin requires a kli sharis, then what? Then by definition, you can't make it on Friday for Shabbos. It must be that you're making it on Shabbos itself. From here, we see that Minchas Chavitin is Docha Shabbos. Beautiful. And Rabbosai, everyone agrees with this concept. The Kohen Gadol could offer up his Minchas, has to offer up his Minchas Chavitin on Shabbos. It's Docha Shabbos. Everyone agrees on that principle. The only shaila ultimately is where we learn it out from. Good. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Bashemen. So we'll say the Pasuk says, Bashemen, that the Minchas Chavitin has to have oil. So we learn out from here, Lahosif La Shemen. We'll say this comes to teach us. Now we're going to see two different ways of understanding this phrase. Lahosif La Shemen comes to teach us that what? Minchas Chavitin requires oil. Now, it's going to tell us it requires oil. It's also going to tell us that it requires an extra measure of oil. We're going to discuss that in just a moment. Ve'ini yodea kama. So we'll say, I know that the minchas chavitin requires oil. What I don't know is what? How much oil? How much oil do you put into the minchas chavitin? Because both says, we're going to see in just a moment, different types of menachos require different amounts of oil. So I know the minchas chavitin requires oil. The shaila just is going to be how much? Ve'ini yodea kama. Harini dan. So the Gemara says, I can make a kavachomer, or I not kavachomer, gzir shava, or I can make a limud. Ne'emar kan shemen, v'ne'emar lahalon b'minchas nesachim shemen. It says over here by minchas chavitin that you have to bring shemen, and it says by minchas nesachim, right? By the mincha that accompanies nesachim, ultimately again shemen, just like by minchas nesachim, mar lahalon shloshes lugin li'isaron, just like by minchas nesachim, I'm bringing three lugin for every isaron of flour. Afkan shloshes lugin liisaron. So to over by minchas chavitin, what's the halacha? Three lug of oil for every isaron of fine flour. O keilach la derech zu. Or perhaps you can make another limud. What's the other limud? So ne'emar kan shemen, v'ne'emar b'minchas nedava shemen. It says over here by chavitin shemen, and it says by minchas nedava, right? A mincha which is brought as a nedava, shemen as well. It will say by the minchas nedava, mal lahalon lug echod, just like by the minchas nedava, it's only one lug of oil. Afkan lug echod. So I would say over here what? I'd say over here by minchas chavitin, it's also only one lug. So we'll say, see here what's happening over here? We know minchas chavitin requires oil. And we know that we can make a limud from shemen of minchas chavitin to the shemen of another mincha. The shayla is, which mincha am I going to compare it to? So first possibility is I could compare it to minchas nesachim. If I compare it to minchas nesachim, that's three lug per isaron. Or I could compare it to minchas nedava, which will only be one lug per isaron. So which one do I compare it to? To which the Gemara says, Nira lemidome. So the Gemara says, well, let's see which type of mincha does chavitin resemble most. To which the Gemara says, Tashbeit mitashbeit. The truth is, Tashbet, Rabbosei, represents the similarities between the menachos. So therefore, Tashbet means Tashbet. What does Tashbet stand for, Rabbosei? It's an acronym. Tadir, that which comes often. Ba'achova, which is taken out. Doche Shabbos, sets aside Shabbos. Doche Tumah, and it sets aside Tumah. Rabbosei, now these are common characteristics that are shared both by Minchas Chavitin as well as Minchas Nesachim. These characteristics are not shared by Minchas Nedava. So the Gemara says, Ve'ein don in Tashbet, Mishein o Tashbet. So therefore, again, we're looking for a comparison. Ultimately, we will choose to compare Minchas Chavitin to Minchas Nesachim, because both Minchas Chavitin and Minchas Nesachim share these same characteristics. Tadir, they occur with incredible frequency. Ba'im Chova, they're obligatory. Doche Shabbos, they're Doche Shabbos. And Doche Tumah, they set aside the laws of Tumah. Both said these are characteristics not shared by Minchas Nesachim. Therefore, we're going to choose to make the comparison between Minchas Chavitin and Minchas Nesachim. And just like Minchas Nesachim requires 3 lug of oil per Isaron, so to Minchas Chavitin will require 3 lug of oil per Isaron. So the Gemara says, okay, lecha lederech zu, or maybe you want to learn it in a different way. Let's learn out Yogil mi Yogil. Again, I will say another acronym. Let's learn out Yoga from Yogil. What's Yoga from Yogil? I will say, what does Yogil stand for? Yochid. Yochid means it's a carbon that is brought by an individual. Biglal atzmo means that what? It comes by itself. It's not an accompaniment to anything else. Leave out yayin. Lavona, it's accompanied by lavona. Ve'ein donin yagil mishe'eno yagil. And above I weren't learn out one yagil from it. So above I said, actually, interestingly enough, if you go with yagil, so that would link minchas chavitin to what? To minchas nedava. So the shaila just is, which way am I going to learn? Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer, soles mincha tamid. The Pasuk Rabbosai says, Soles Mincha Tamid. It comes from Soles Mincha, fine flour, and it's brought Tamid consistently. Harei hi lecha kiminchas tamidin. Comes to teach you that what? That the Minchas Chavitin is comparable to the Minchas Tamidin. Ma Mincha Tamidin Gimel Lugin Li Yisaron. Just like by Minchas Tamidin Rabbosai, the Mincha Tamid, ultimately, again, it's 3 Lugin of oil per Yisaron. Af zu gimel lugin li isaron. So to Minchas Chavitin, 3 lug of oil per isaron. Reb Shimon says, Riba kan shemen veriba le minchas kvasim shemen. Reb Shimon says like this. It says over here by Minchas Chavitin shemen, and it says by Minchas kvasim shemen as well, which is the mincha that accompanies a keves offering. Mala halon shloshes lugin li isaron. Just like by kvasim, it's 3 lug per isaron. Afkan shloshes lugin liyisaron. So to by the minchas chavitin, it'll be 3 lugin per isaron. Okay, lech la derech zu. Or maybe you'll say ultimately again, in a different direction, riba kan shemen veriba minchas paran ve'elim shemen. We'll say, watch this. Maybe you can say this. It says by minchas chavitin shemen, and it says riba b'minchas parim ve'elim shemen. And it says outside by minchas parim ve'elim. This refers to the mincha that is brought together with bull offerings and ram offerings. Ma lahalon shnei lugin lisaron. But just like by parim and elim, we know that when you bring the accompanying mincha, it's 2 lug of oil for every isaron of fine flour. So maybe I'll say by minchas chavitin as well. Afkan shnei lugin lisaron. So too by what? So too by Minchas Chavitin, I'll also say it's 2 lug per isaron of fine flour. To which the Gemara says, so both say, see what's happening over here? You feel, right? You feel the tension. You feel it. You feel it. That's not indigestion that you're feeling. That's the tension. Right? So both say, so again, understand what's happening over here is as follows. What we know is that the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol and also Kohen Hedyo requires oil. The issue is, and we know that we have other examples of other menachos that also require oil. What's our shayla? We know that different types of menachos require different amounts of oil. We're trying to figure out what type of mincha do we compare minchas chavitin to? Is minchas chavitin compared to a 3 lug per isaron mincha, or is it compared to a 2 lug per isaron mincha? The truth is, there's another question: is it compared to a 1 lug per isaron mincha? So that's the tension over here. So the Gemara says, "Nir le midoma." So let's see What does minchas chavitin compare to most? What is it comparable to most? Dane mincha ba yisaron, mi mincha ba yisaron. Let's compare a mincha that comes with an yisaron flower to another mincha that comes with an yisaron flower. Vein dane mincha ba mi yisaron, mi mincha ba beiz v'gimel esvanim. And both say, so remember, the minchas chavitin is an yisaron flower. Let's compare it to another mincha that comes from an yisaron flower, and don't compare it to the type of mincha that comes either with two esronos, two esronim, or three esronim. We'll say, remember again, it's the par comes with three esronim, and the aisle, the ram, comes with two esronim. So therefore, again, it doesn't make sense to compare minchas chavitin to either of those. You want to compare minchas chavitin to the type of mincha that comes one esron of flour. So Gemara says, Hoguf akasha, an inherent contradiction. Amrit, b'shemen lahosif l'shemen. So let's say, on one hand, you're telling me that the word b'shemen teaches me that what? That halacha l'maisa, I add a requirement of shemen to the minchas chavitin. V'hadr tani, ne'emar kan shemen, v'ne'emar b'minchas nadava shemen. Then also, you're telling me that what? It says here shemen, and it says by minchas nadava shemen. So Amar Abaye, man tana b'shemen lahosif. We'll say, who is the opinion who holds that b'shemen comes to add on oil? Rabbi Shimon he. Ubedina man kamahader, and who is going to respond to this? Rabbi Osai, Rabbi Yishmael. So it's reflecting ultimately two different opinions, says the Gemara. Rav Huna Rav Shua Amar, Kul Rabbi Shimon Menosh Rabbi Yochanan and Baroki. So Rav Huna says, in reality, the entire thing reflects the view of Rabbi Shalson, Rabbi Yochanan and Baroka. Vachikamar, this is what it means to say. Bashemen, when the Pasuk says Bashemen, Lahosif La Shemen. That comes to include, or that comes to be Mosif Shemen. Di'ilik Ba Shemen. Now, what that means is as follows. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Bashemen comes to teach you that what? Minchas Chavitin actually has more oil. More oil. Why, Rabbi Hussein? Because if you're telling me that Bashemen comes to teach me that there's just a basic obligation to bring oil as part of the Minchas Chavitin, that can't be. I'll tell you why. Dilek bo Hashemen lo tzarech. Because Rabbi Hussein, to tell me that there's a Shemen obligation of Minchas Chavitin, I don't need the word Bashemen for that. Why not? Kibun dikasiv. Because since when it comes to minchas chavitin, the Torah used lashon of amachvas. What does that come to teach me? Keminchas machvas damya. Bosa comes to teach me that the minchas chavitin is just like a minchas machvas. Bosa, just like a minchas machvas requires oil, so to the minchas chavitin will require oil. If that's the case, then why is there the additional word of bashemen? Ultimately, by the minchas chavitin, to teach a minchas chavitin requires even more oil than normal. Or maybe you'll say, no, maybe Hashem actually comes to what? Comes to teach me that you have to bring oil by minchas chavitin. I would have thought maybe Rabbi Osei, without Bashemen, I would have thought maybe Minchas Chavitin is like a Minchas Chote. We'll say Minchas Chote, right? The Mincha that's brought as part of a sin offering does not come with oil. So maybe again, I would have thought that a Minchas Chavitin doesn't come with oil either. To which the Gemara says, Dilokaz Rachman Bashemen have a Minatevik Minchas Chote, Hadar Amar. So the Gemara says, in reality, I could have learned this out from a limud. V'don dina v'lo asile. But we tried to learn it out, but the limud ultimately did not go ahead and bear fruit. And therefore, ultimately, again, we required the pasuk. We'll say, which pasuk? Solas mincha tamid. The pasuk says, "Solas min chatamid." What does that come to teach me? Kidimisayin Rabbi Shmuel will say. Ultimately, again, in accordance with that which Rabbi Shmuel said before, Rabba Amar Kul Rabbi Shimon. Rabba says, in reality, the entire thing reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon. V'achikar, this is what it means to say, "Bashemen lahosif lashemen." Bashemen doesn't come to teach me a core oil obligation; rather, comes to teach me that the minchas chavitin requires extra oil. Dilek ba lashemen, because if you're going to teach me that, it comes to teach me a basic oil obligation. That can't be why. Lo tzarech. We'll say, I don't need a pasuk to teach me a basic oil obligation. Why not? Kevon dechsev ba al machvas kemachvas damya. Because since the pasuk says al machvas also teaches me that what? That it's like a minchas machvas. Just like a minchas machvas requires oil, so to the minchas chavitin will require oil. If that's the case, what does bashemen come to teach you by minchas chavitin? that you require extra oil. Va'ad shelo yomar b'shemen, and before if the Torah would have not said b'shemen, yesh li b'din, I could have learned that from a limud. V'don dina lo asya, but you tried to learn it out, the limud doesn't go. Va'atzricha b'shemen. And therefore, again, ultimately, again, we in fact do need the word b'shemen for the drasha. Hadr amar tevi kiminchas paran ve'elim. Aye, but then we said before, let it be, let the minchas chavitin be, like the mincha that accompanies the par or the elim. Hadr amar, therefore, we'll say, what do we say? In Aleph Amidays, mincha bo yisaron. That ultimately, again, we would rather go ahead and compare a minchas chavitin, which comes from one yisaron, to other minachos, which come from one yisaron as well. So we'll say, bottom line, halach l'maisa, how do we paskin? So the Rambam says that a minchas chavitin is brought from three yisaron. Ultimately, again, let me say that again. The Rambam paskins that ultimately, again, it's three lugin of oil per isaron of fine flour. That's the minchas chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, the minchas chavitin of the inauguration of the Kohen Hedyot. Three lugin of oil for every one isaron of fine flour. Good. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah. We'll say another interesting halacha. Lo minu kohen achar tachto. So remember again, the halacha is the Kohen Gadol brings his minchas chavitin twice. What I mean by twice? One time on the day that he's inaugurated, and then every single day subsequently. Just so you know, just an interesting piece of information here, that you could have a situation where the Kohen Gadol, there will be one day where the Kohen Gadol, will bless you, will bring two minchos chavitin. What's the day when he'll bring two minchos chavitin? The day that he's inaugurated, that's Kohen Gadol. He'll bring one minchas chavitin for his inauguration, and a second minchas chavitin as his daily obligation for the Kohen Gadol. Now watch this. Let's say the Kohen Gadol dies. Kohen Gadol dies. So we'll say, and then, no, lo minu Kohen achar tachtov, and they didn't go ahead and appoint another Kohen Gadol in his stead. Mishal mi ha'isakreva. So we'll say, this is amazing. So as much as the minchas chavitin is linked to the Kohen Gadol, but the amazing part is what? Even if there is no active Kohen Gadol, the minchas chavitin must still be brought. So what I said, the shaila is, Kohen Gadol dies, and now there's no, they didn't appoint another Kohen Gadol, we have to bring a minchas chavitin. So what I say, ultimately again, so what's the shaila? What's the shaila? Oh, we're Jewish, right? We'll say, there's a very fundamental shaila. Who's paying for it? Who is paying for this? Because remember again, under normal circumstances, the Kohen Gadol goes ahead and brings the minchas chavitin out of his own pocket. So the shaila is who, and I will say, now don't feel bad for the Kohen Gadol. You know, one of the perks of becoming the Kohen Gadol, I will say, was what? Along with that position also came what? Wealth. We dash in a Kohen Gadol me'echav. The Kohen Gadol had to be wealthy. And even if he was not independently wealthy, if he was appointed to the position, he was made wealthy. So Baruch Hashem, he could afford it. He had to bring the Minchas Chavitin. Now there's not a Kohen Gadol, not a Kohen Gadol. Now here's what's amazing. The Minchas Chavitin has to be brought. So you must say, part of the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash is, the Beis HaMikdash stops for no one and nothing. I was about to say, continuity. It's all about the continuity, all about the tmidos. Kohen Gadol's dead, you still have to bring a Minchas Chavitin. The only shaila now is, who is paying for that Minchas Chavitin? So watch this. Lo mino kohen achar tachtov. So the Kohen Gadol dies. They didn't appoint another Kohen Gadol, and they still have to bring the Minchas Chavitin. Mishal mi haisa kreva. So we'll say, who paid for it? Who paid for the Minchas Chavitin? This is amazing. Rav Shimon says, Mishal Tzibur. Rav Shimon says, the communal coffers, the community paid for it, right? Now, we'll say, now, Prepashos, when we say Mishal Tzibur, that means it's the Beis HaMikdash paid for it. But remember, the Beis HaMikdash is supported by the people, specifically through the Machzis HaShekel. Rabbi Huda says, no, Mishal Yershim. Rabbi Huda says, no, in fact, the Yershim of the Kohen Gadol would be the ones who what? Would be the ones who paid for the Minchas Chavitin. Ushleima Haisakreva. And it was actually very interesting. And when the Minchas Chavitin was brought, ultimately, again, in the absence of the... So remember, let's take a step back. Under normal circumstances, when the Kohen Gadol was the one was alive and bringing the Minchas Chavitin, so how much was the Minchas Chavitin? It was one Yisaron. You brought half of it in the morning, you brought half of it in the afternoon. when there's no Kohen Gadol, so let's say the Kohen Gadol dies in the morning, for argument's sake, they would bring a whole measure ultimately in the afternoon. That's what it means. Michel, Ushlema Haisar Kever, look at Rashi, Ushlema, Isaron Shalim Baboker, the Isaron Bein Ha'arbayim, calls Manchi Kreva Michel Tzibor. This is actually very interesting. When the Minchas Chavitin is not being offered up by the Kohen Gadol, it's a complete Isaron each time. When it's the Kohen Gadol, he brings half Isaron in the morning, half Isaron in the afternoon. When it's Michel Tzibor, it's a full Isaron in the morning, full Isaron in the afternoon. We'll see why that distinction is so. So, Tan Rabbanon. So, we'll say the Gemara says, Kohen Gadol Shemes, Velomino Kohen Acher Tachtav. Kohen Gadol died, and they did not appoint another Kohen Gadol in his stead. So, Minayin Shete Minchas, Akrev Michel Yarshin. So, we'll say, so this price reflects the view that Halacha Lameisa, the money for the Minchas Chavitin comes from the Yarshin. So, how do we know that if there's no Kohen Gadol, it's his Yarshin will ultimately pay for the Minchas Chavitin? Talmud Lomar. Vakoin Hamashiach Tachtov Mibanav Yaseh Oso. Because the pasuk says, the Kohen who was anointed underneath him, Mibanav. So we'll say, the Gemara is dashing, Mibanav means what? That if there is no Kohen Gadol, the funding for the Minchas Chavitin comes from who? Comes from, so you understand, Kuna Gedola Lav Davka was a hereditary position. Right? I want to be very clear on that. It was generally not a hereditary position, meaning Malchus is hereditary if the children of the king are fit. But Kohen Gadol, you could have hereditary Kohen Gadol if the kids of the deceased Kohen Gadol were fit, but Lav Davka, that it worked that way. So Mibanav teaches me, the Gemara is actually, Mibanav means if the Kohen Gadol is dead, his children are the ones who are his estate. His Yershim are the ones who are obligated to go ahead and pay for the Chavitin. Yachol Yachri Venu Chatzon, when it's being paid for by the Yarshim, so we'll say the Chavitin should be offered up in the same way it was offered up when the Kohen Gadol was alive. Just like when the Kohen Gadol is alive, it's half an Isaron in the morning, half an Isaron in the afternoon. I might have thought it's the same way when the children are paying for it. Talmud Lomar, Osa, Kula, Velo Chetzi de Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, we'll say Rabbi Yehuda Darshins, Osa. Osa means what? You offer it. It, Rabbi Yehuda, means what? It in its entirety. A full Isaron in the morning and a full Isaron in the afternoon. So we'll say, Shitas Rabbi Huda is focused on two words. Word number one, Mibanav, which teaches me that in the absence of the Kohen Gadol, who pays for the Chavitin? Who pays? His children, Yarshim, and Osa, teaches me that when it is someone other than the Kohen Gadol who is offering up the Chavitin, they offer up a full measure, fully Isaron in the morning, fully Isaron in the afternoon. Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he says, Chak Olam, Mishel Olam. We'll say, Chak Olam teaches me what? That Halacha L'maisa, when there is no Kohen Gadol to offer up the Chavitin, where does the money come from? Mishel Olam. Olam Rabbi Shimon refers to who? Refers to the Tzibor. Kalil Taktar, it has to be totally burned. Shetei Kula Baktara, the Minchas Chavitin Rabbi Shimon is totally burned on the Mizbeach. So fundamental machlokis, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, there is no Kohen Gadol, everyone agrees the show must go on, the Chavitin must be offered. Who's bringing the Chavitin? Rabbi Shimon says, Mishal Tzibor. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Yarshim. So says the Gemara, now they're each going to figure out what the other one does, what the other one's drasha. They will say, does the Pasuk HaKohen HaMashiach come to really teach me ultimately that which Rabbi Yehuda said? We'll say, I need HaKohen HaMashiach to teach me something else. What does it come to teach me? Zek Karban Aron Ubanov. This will be the carbon of Aaron and his sons that they will offer up on the day of their inauguration. When a Kohen is inaugurated, maybe Aaron and his sons all offer up one carbon together. Therefore, the pasuk says that they will offer up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aaron b'fnei atzmav, ubana b'fnei atzman. Aaron offers up his carbon, and his sons offer up a different carbon. Banav, what do we learn from the word banav? Elu kohanim hedyotos. We'll say banav refers to regular kohanim. Ata omer hedyotos, so eno elo kohanim gidolim. You say refers to hedyotos, maybe refers to kohanim gidolim. Kishu omer v'hakohen hamashiach tachtav mi banav, hari kohen gadol amar. Pasuk when it says the Kohen HaMashiach, therefore it's the Kohen Gadol. Ha'mani makayim banav. What does the word banav mean? Elu kohanim had yotos. Both say this refers to regular kohanim. Both say now, what does it teach me? This teaches me that when a kohen head yot is inaugurated for service in the Beis HaMikdash, he also what has to bring a minchas chavitin. He has to bring a minchas chavitin. Im kein lichtov kra hakohen hamashiach tachtov banav ye'aseh. If that's the case, then why doesn't it just say hakohen hamashiach tachtov banav? My mi banav. What does mi banav teach me about saying shamas minatarti? Turns out I can learn two things from that. So what can I learn two things? At least according to Rabbi Huda, I can learn out two things. Number one, that even a regular Kohen, when he begins his service in the Kohuna, brings a Minchas Chavitin. And in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, what's the halacha? That ultimately, again, if the Kohen Gadol dies, and there is no Kohen Gadol to bring the Minchas Chavitin, the Chavitin are brought, and who pays for them? The Yershim, the offspring of the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Shimon, Hai Osa Mai Avidle. What does Rabbi Shimon do with that word Osa? He used it for the following. Baile, the Kohen Gadol, Shemes, Umino Acher Tachto. We'll say, comes to teach you the following case. That if the Kohen Gadol dies, and they appoint another Kohen Gadol, Shalo Yavi Chatzi Yisrami Beisir, Velo Chatzi Yisrami Shalvishon. The Rabbi said, the new Kohen Gadol, on his day of inauguration, cannot use a half an Yisaron from his home, and the remaining half an Yisaron from the first Kohen Gadol. Rather, Rabbi said, what does he have to do? When he brings his Minchas Chavitin, it must be comprised of a full Yisaron, and that full Yisaron must be of a new offering that he brings himself. Why don't you learn out from the word of machatzisa? Vav lo darish, because Rabbi Shimon ultimately again does not dash in vavs. Rabbi Huda, hai chak olam my avile. What does Rabbi Huda do with the phrase chak olam? He dash in zavos say the following: chuka liolam tehei. That this halacha bosay minchas chavitin is an everlasting statute. That for bosay for not just for Aaron and his sons, but wherever there's a Beis HaMikdash and the Kohanim and Kohanim Gedolim, whenever a new Kohen is inducted into service, he brings a Minchas Chavitin. When the Kohen Gadol is inducted into service, he brings a Minchas Chavitin, and the Kohen Gadol brings a Minchas Chavitin every single day. Khalil Taktar, Rabbi Yossi, what do we learn from that phrase? Khalil Taktar has to be totally burned. So, Lamali, Mibay Lelichid Isanya, need it for the following reason. Following Braisa. Ainli Ela El Yona, Sivosa, I only know that which is stated above. Minchas Kohen Gadol b'Kalil Taktar, that the mincha of the Kohen Gadol has to be totally burnt on the Mizbeach. V'tach Tona, furthermore, I also know Minchas Kohen Hedyot below Socha. This is actually interesting. Torah teaches me two halachas, that the Minchas Kohen Gadol has to be totally burnt on the Mizbeach. It also teaches me that the Minchas Kohen Hedyot, which is the mincha that a Kohen Hedyot ultimately brings when, this is the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Hedyot, also is below socha. You're not allowed to eat it. How do I know that the minchas chavitin of the Kohen Gadol also can't be eaten, and the minchas chavitin of the Kohen Hedyot has to be totally burnt on the mizbeach? Talmud Lomar, Kalil Gzir Shava. What's to make a Gzir Shava ultimately between the mincha of the Kohen Gadol and the mincha of the Kohen Hedyot? Ne'emar kan kalil, v'ne'emar lehalon kalil. Makan bekalil taktar, just like I will say over here, by the Kohen Gadol, it says kalil taktar has to be totally burned. Af lehalon bekalil taktar, so too by the mincha of the Kohen Hedyot, he knows that has to be totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Uma lehalon litein lo sase alachiloso. And just like I will say, ultimately again, by the mincha of the Kohen Hedyot, there is a lo sase for consumption. Afkan litin lo sase alachilosa. So to buy the minchas chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, not only do you have to burn it, but if you eat it, you are in violation of a lo sase. Now watch this. Now this is going to be. What happened?
That line spilled.
I told you it was riveting. I don't make this stuff up. So let's go back there. Now, okay, maybe hold on to your cups because this is going to get more exciting in just a moment. So watch this. Here, do you need tissues? Thank you. So watch this. So the Gemara says as follows. So both say, let's go back there. The sever of Shimon Mishal Tzibor. Now watch this. This is actually an amazing, amazing Gemara. So ask the Gemara of Sir Reb Shimon Mishal Tzibor Daraisa. The Rebbe said, now understand, Reb Shimon in the Mishnah said as follows, that halacha l'maisa, when there is no Kohen Gadol, the Minchas Chavitin still has to be brought, right? And where does the money for the Minchas Chavitin come from? It comes from the Tzibur's coffers. Now, the assumption is that Rabbi Shimon, is understanding this to be the din d'oraisa, that in the absence of a Kohen Gadol, we still have to bring the Chavitin, and ultimately, again, that is the din d'oraisa. Does Rabbi Shimon really hold that is the din d'oraisa? We'll say, watch this. Va'atanan. We'll say, it's actually amazing. Amr Shimon, Shiva Dvarim Hiskinu Bezdin. Bezdin instituted seven different things. Seven different things. You're supposed to say, obviously, Bezdin instituted many more than seven things. This is talking about seven different enactments that were instituted at once. Shiva Dvarim Hiskinu Bezdin. V'zeh Echaman. I'm say, this is one of them. Watch this. Now, Rashi points out over here about a different rabbinic enactment, about if you find animals within different proximities to Yerushalayim, about what you could assume their sacrificial status is. We're going to leave that out for now. Watch this. V'zeh Echaman. Ovid Kochavim Sheshalach Ola Semdinas Hayam. Listen to this, Rabbi say, if an Ovid Kochavim sends a carbon, sends an Ola from overseas, that Rabbi say, now understand over here what's happening. Remember, an Ovid Kochavim has the ability to send the carbon, right? Anyone can send the carbon. So the Ovid Kochavim is sending an Ola from overseas. Now watch this. If Shalach Imanachas Nesachim, Beva Mishalo. If he sends Nesachim along with it, then we offer up his Nesachim. V'im Lav, but I will say at the end of the day, if V'im Lav, Kraven Mishal Tzibor. What is actually interesting? The ola of the guy needs Nesachim. If the guy sends Nesachim, fantastic. This is amazing. If he doesn't send Nesachim, I will say, then what? The Tzibor pays for it. V'chein Ger Shemes, V'niach Zvachim. We'll say, so too, if a Ger dies, and he leaves behind karbonos that need to be offered, Yeshlo Nesachim Kraven Mishalo. If in his estate he has the property to be able to offer up Nesachim, then fantastic. We offer up Nesachim from his estate. V'im lav kreve mishal tzibor. And if not, what do? We offer up the Nesachim, Rabbi Osei, from where? From the tzibor's funds. Utnai bezdin, Rabbi Osei, now all that's interesting, but here's the part that's riveting for us. Utnai bezdin hu, kohen gadol shemes v'lo minu kohen acher tachtov. If the kohen gadol died, and they did not yet appoint another kohen gadol, shetehei minchaso kreva mishal tzibor, that ultimately what? We go ahead and we offer up his mincha from communal funds. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that, here's what's interesting. So this seems to align with Rav Shimon's statement, namely, that if the Kohen Gadol dies, and there's not another Kohen Gadol, we offer up the Kohen Gadol's minchas chavitin from where? From communal funds. Rav Shimon said, here's the difference. We assume Rav Shimon was saying this was the din d'oraisa. But in fact, it turns out that according to this Mishnah, Rav Shimon said, what? It's not the din d'oraisa. What is it? It's a Tanai Bezdin. It's a Din D'Rabbanon. So it's not the D'oraisa. So meaning, bottom line will be the same. It's not contradicting Reb Shimon's bottom line halacha. The halacha is that in the absence of the Kohen Gadol, ultimately the Minchas Chavitin will come from communal funds. Just the difference is, Rabbi Shimon said this was a Din D'oraisa. The Bryce is clearly telling us that what? This is a Din D'Rabbanon. So which one is it? Rabbi Ababa says, it's amazing. Shnei takanos havu. In fact, there are two different takanos. Da'oraisa mid-tzibor. But say, in reality, mid-da'oraisa. So ultimately, again, in the absence of a Kohen Gadol, the minchas chavitin comes from the tzibor. Kevan de'chazu de'kamitcha kalishka ta'kinu de'legabe miyarshim. But say, watch this. But then when the rabbi saw that this was taking too much of a toll on communal funds. So mid-daraisa, if there's no Kohen Gadol, ultimately the Minchas Chavitin comes from communal funds. That was the halacha. Then the rabbi saw that what? This was taking too much out of communal funds. Rabbi said, now why was it taking too much out of communal funds? So get ready for this. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, it's the third of the wide lines in Rashi. The kamat chaka lishka, shayu poschna shkalim sheba lishka, lefi shebechol shana, hayu tzrichin dekach. Kidarmina parakama de mesechas yuma, vishnos rishoyim tikatzarna, zumikdashini, shamdu yosem regimel meos kohanim gidolim.
Listen to this. In the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, the office of the Kohen Gedola was often what? Sold to the highest bidder. Which means, the Kohanim Gedolim were not pious individuals. Which meant, Rabbi Osei, one thing about the Kohen Gedola, Rabbi Osei, which is, you can only fake it for so long. Because pretty much, comes Yom Kippur, if you are not fit, you're not coming out of the Holy of Holies. Which Rabbi Osei meant, with Gemara saying over here, is as follows.
Every single year of the second Beis HaMikdash, almost every single year, they ran into a problem of being Kohen Gadol-less. And as such, because remember again, the Kohanim Gadolim died on Yom Kippur. More than 300 Kohanim Gadolim they went through over the course of a bit more than 400 years, which is an incredibly high Kohen Gadol turnover rate. So we'll say, watch this. So the Din D'oraisa is, if there's no Kohen Gadol, ultimately, you bring the minchas chaviti from communal funds. Here's the problem. During times of the second Beis HaMikdash, it created a financial crisis. Why? Because the tzibor was spending so much money on the minchas chavitin when the kohen gadol was not there. So what happened? The rabbi stepped in, and the rabbi said, "Takinu d'legabe miyarshim." The rabbi said, "You know what? Minchas chavitin has to be brought from the heirs, from the estate of the deceased Kohen Gadol." So we'll say that's what the rabbis legislated. Then what happened? Came in the chazad the kapashiba. We'll say then what happened? The Yarshim stopped paying. When the Yarshim stopped paying, we'll say what happened? The minchas chavitin wasn't brought. Akmua daraisa. The rabbis went back and reinstituted the din daraisa, which is that in the absence of the Kohen Gadol, the minchas chavitin comes from Kohen Gadol. So we'll say this is a dramatically amazing Gemara. So it's according to Reb Shimon's view, mid daraisa, in the absence of a Kohen Gadol, the minchas chavitin comes from communal funds. During the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, the rabbis shifted the financial burden of the minchas chavitin when there was no Kohen Gadol to the heirs of the Kohen Gadol. The problem is the heirs of the Kohen Gadol become derelict in their responsibility to provide the funds for the minchas chavitin. Therefore, the rabbis had to reassume that obligation upon the tzibor. That's the back and forth. The doraisa is on the tzibor. The rabbis tried to shift the financial burden onto the yershim. When the yershim weren't doing their part, ultimately they had to shift it back to the community. I will say, watch this. Let's just do a few more lines. So Shana Rabba will get in a few more zechuyos. Va'apara. We'll say, what's another enactment? This is amazing. Va'apara. So listen to this. Furthermore, the rabbis legislated that there is no din me'ila on the ashes of the para aduma. That's actually quite amazing. So remember, me'ila means illegal use of consecrated property. So apparently, again, the ashes of the para aduma are not subject to me'ila. To which the Gemara says, Doraisihi. Why do the rabbis have to legislate that? That is actually a din d'oraisa, Rabbi Osei, that the laws of Me'ila do not apply to the ashes of the para aduma. Where do we see this? Tisanya, chatos hi. Rabbi Osei, the pasuk by para aduma says, chatos hi, it's a chatos. Melamed shemoalin ba. Ultimately, again, it teaches us that what? That it is only the cow itself, the para aduma itself, that is subject to Me'ila. He ba moalin. Ba'afra ein mo'alin. Well, so what do we learn? From the word he, right? Chatos he. It is only the para itself that is subject to me'ila, top of nun beis amad aleph. Ba'afra ein mo'alin. But ultimately, again, interestingly enough, the ashes themselves are not subject to me'ila. So again, why does the basin have to legislate that the ashes of the para aduma are not subject to the laws of Me'ila, if mid the oraisa they're already not subject to Me'ila? To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, shtei takanos havi. Rav Ashi says, ultimately, again, there are two takanos. The oraisa, ba malin, ba afroin malin. Mid the oraisa, it is only the cow itself that is subject to the laws of Me'ila, but the ashes are not. But however, what happened? The rabbis had to step in. Kevan dechazu dekam mezalzali b'ba. But say when the rabbi saw that people were mezalzal, people were treating the ashes lightly. How were they treating the ashes lightly? The ka'avdi minei lemakasan. I will say when there was leftover ashes of paraduma, people were making out of it like a salve, like a paste, like a wound for wound treatment. I guess apparently the ashes of the paraduma also work well for treating physical wounds. People were misusing the ashes of the paraduma and using it for their own wound care, gazru bei mi'ila. Ultimately, what happened? So the rabbis went ahead and put a din d'rabbanan of mi'ila on the ashes to prevent people from using the ashes for illegal purposes. But Rabbi said, then what happened? Kevan dechazu dekaparshi misafek hazos. Rabbi said, then what happened? People then stopped using the ashes of the paraduma in cases of safek tumas. So Rabbi said, sometimes you have cases of safek tumas mace. So what do you do in safek tumas mace? So you use ashes of the paraduma. Here's the problem. Now that there's a din of mi'ila, a rabbinic din of mi'ila on the ashes, people stopped using the ashes for cases of safek tuma. Why? Because they both say, if I'm wrong, and I'm not really tummy, then what? Then it turns out I did mi'ila. But that's a problem, because we want people using the ashes of the paraduma even for safek tuma. Therefore, what? Akmuha doraisa. Therefore, we said the rabbis went back and reinstituted the biblical law. So amazingly enough, biblically, there's no mi'ila by ashes of para aduma. The Rabbanan stepped in because they saw illegal use of the ashes. Then, unfortunately, as a result of rabbinic decree, people stopped using the ashes for safek tuma. And therefore, again, and in order to avoid that, the rabbis went back and reinstituted the biblical law that Allah Chalamai said the ashes are not subject to tumah. We'll stop over here. I'll share with you a short Hoshana.